blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, hill of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. My soul praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my soul praising my Savior. Submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture, burst on my side. Angels descending, bring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story. This is my soul praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my soul praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. The watching and the waiting, looking ever, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story. This is my soul praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my soul praising my Savior. My story, this is my soul praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story.
Would be wonderful if that was our story and that was our song. Prayer request, Sister Lily is traveling to Cork next week. Let's pray for her, a blessed journey upon her. Let's bow our heads before we approach the word. Heavenly Father, Lord, how wonderful it is Father, how wonderful to worship you. How wonderful to know you. How wonderful your grace. How wonderful your mercy. And Father, we just want to come to give you praise, to thank you, Father, that you've given us chance once again to gather in this house, to gather upon this evening. And Lord, we've come to gather in your name. Oh, Father, how we just desire that communion with you. Father, the oil and the wine upon this night, Lord, that which is required for us. You know where we are. You know what we are going through. So, Father, we ask you to guide us and lead us, Lord. May you bless your people. Bless Brother George's family in London. Bless Sister Lilia. She travels next week. Give her a special blessing. Father, may you protect her and keep her on the way. May she be a blessing there. And may, Father, she be blessed. And may she come back refreshed from you, giving you the glory, Lord. And Father, as we open up your word, we're looking unto thee this evening, Lord. Father, open up the eyes of our understanding. How many times your prophet said it, Lord, that, Father, we can open the physical pages of the book, anybody. But Father, you're the one alone who can open the word unto us. And Father, we're relying upon you upon this night. Father, bless your word. Bless it to the souls of your people. Bless each of your sons and daughters that have come out upon this night to worship you. Praying for them that aren't you. I think of Brother Goran, Lord, bless him. Quicken him, hasten him back, Lord, we pray. Father, and every other brother, every other sister upon this night, we dedicate them to thee. You know where we are. You know what we've come here for. Father, be glorified is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, let's open up Revelations chapter 22. Just to take an opportunity upon a Friday evening to answer a couple of questions here, which are good questions, concerning the seals and so forth. We saw it the other day, what is our commission? We saw John eat the book. Thou must prophesy again. So it's a good thing to really get stuck into some of these things. You know, sometimes it's a good thing to go through the season once again, that you really go back into some of these things. So Revelation chapter 22, let's read verse 18 and verse 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. My, that's quite a thing to think about. Now, sometimes we put it a little bit too far away. We'll have a look at that. Let's also look in Revelation chapter 6. Let's just read these first four seals, just to give us a little bit of a background. And I saw, verse 1, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And behold, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. See thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword and with hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the earth. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated, saints. God bless you this evening. If I just had to take a bit of a topic here, just to try to bring a couple of questions together, just to speak on the topic of the words of your prophecy. Now, we just saw it there in Revelation chapter 22, when it says, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. So we just want to take this thought, because sometimes in order to understand the concepts of the scripture, it's so much easier if you bring it into real life examples. You bring it into scripture and so forth. You know, the prophet was a master at doing that. You'd find the prophet would teach a principle. You get any message book, he'd preach something the first few pages of the book. And then for the rest of the book, he's going through the scripture, showing it in the days of Noah, showing it in the days of Abraham, showing it in the days of so many things. So he's taken that particular thought and he's tracing it through the scripture, because God works according to pattern. You know, if God is dealing with the church age, he's going to deal the same with the church age, he's going to deal with you. Or down the work of redemption, we know in Future Home, the prophet shows it, that God, the way he redeems the earth, he's going to redeem the earth, what, with the baptism of water in the days of Noah. He shed his blood at the cross, sanctification, and in the millennium there'll be sanctification. And then we know there's the baptism of fire, and then he comes and tabernacles upon the earth. Now that's exactly the same plan that he's going to use for the believer. Now you've got to go through this three stages. He does the same through the church ages. Now he brings Luther, then he brings Wesley, then he brings Pentecost, and then comes adoption time. You know, so you find that God always uses the same pattern. You know, so if you want to know if you're getting the right sort of idea of God's dealings with things or with people or with you or with me or with how he deals with our church, you know, if you can find something in the patterns of scripture and you can place yourself according to those patterns, you'll never go far wrong. That's why the prophet always spoke of himself as being a typologist. You know, because if you can know what's in a shadow, that the shadow is going to give you a good understanding what the reality is going to be when it comes. So if we look at looking at these seals and looking at the way that God deals with things, look what the prophet says. We know this pretty well from the beginning of the church age book introduction. He says this volume, speaking of the church age book, he says it'll concern itself with various major doctrines found in Revelations chapter 1 through 3. But its main theme is the setting forth of a detailed study of the seven church ages. It says this is necessary. So it's really a good thing for new believers to know the church ages. Because the prophet says it's necessary in order to place anything else. If you don't know the church ages, it's very difficult to understand anything else in the book of Revelation. And that's how the book of Revelation unfolds itself. It says this is necessary in order to study and understand the rest of Revelation. For out of the ages come the seals, and out of the seals come the trumpets, and out of the trumpets comes the vials. So this mystery of redemption, if we look into the book of Revelation, which is the mystery of redemption, it's that which has been sealed up. It's God's great thought and great purpose of redemption. We can see there's various things involved in this redemption. When God is working redemption for his church, he's going to divide it up into church ages. And from those church ages, there's going to be seals. There's certain things that take place under the seals. And then from the seals, now we can get into the trumpets. There's a certain reason for trumpets to sound. The trumpets have a purpose. The trumpets aren't the same as the seals, and the seals aren't the same as the trumpets, because they have a different purpose. And everything under the plan of redemption is there for a purpose. If something's a seal, there's a reason that it was under a seal. Why God has sealed that away. If something comes because trumpets are blown, there's a reason for that. If there's vials, there's plagues, there's a reason for the vials or the plagues. They have a specific purpose. You know, and so just bringing it back even to the individual, we'll see that. That each and every one of these things that God does, under the mystery of redemption to the church, you and I are subject to exactly the same things. You know, we'll find that as we go along. And this is God's divine program. Now, firstly, what is a seal? Before 1963, the prophet spoke very interesting things about the seal. But obviously, 63, it was thus saith the Lord. He really caught the full revelation at the unveiling of the seals. But he says very important things about seals before that. Because you can apply the seal to yourself as an individual, or you apply the seal to the church ages. So there's different things under these seals. And the first thing in adoption, he says, what is a seal? He says it's a work that has been completed, a completed work. You know, so in God's mind, what was under the seals, when there's seven seals of redemption, in God's mind, it's a finished work. Nothing's going to take God by surprise. No matter if things are sealed to you and I, if things are just waiting for a season to be revealed, it's not hidden to God. To God, his works are known from the beginning of time. And his works are perfect. So it's a complete work. That's what a seal is. So he says it's a complete. He says the next thing it shows a seal is ownership. So we're going to find under these seals there's ownership. God seals his people under these seals. God seals his purposes under these seals. And just as much as you are revealed in your season, when a seal is opened and you come forth and express God's purpose under that seal, it's the same as all of God's mystery purposes. His purpose for the church age is sealed under a seal. His purpose for your life is sealed under a seal. He says, and the next thing a seal shows is security. Now that's the wonderful thing. It speaks of security because it shows God's foreknowledge. That before there was a problem, he already made a solution. But he sealed the solution away. He knew the white horse rider was going to ride. He knew the Antichrist spirit was going to come and contaminate the early church. So what did he do? He sealed away under the seal. There's going to be the anointing of the lion. There's going to be something to combat whatever it is that the enemy desires to do. He knew that the red horse rider, that the devil was going to pursue the ministry to the next stage and take his sword and go forth to shed blood to persecute the church. The Lord had already foreseen that before the foundation of the world, sealed the solution under a seal. And under those seals are all of the instruments that he's going to use. Because he doesn't only predestinate an anointing, the anointing of the ox, but he anoints, he predestinates the people. He places the names of the people that are going to be anointed by that anointing. And that's what he does, just showing that he's got everything covered. That's what the seals are showing us. That God has everything covered. He has it all under control, but he just reveals it in his time. Because under the seals, we find the revelation of the enemy. Now, it's very difficult to fight the enemy without that, without the revelation of that. You untake the first couple of chapters of the book of Job. To us, the book of Job is very interesting because we see what's under the seal in chapter 1. We see, oh, in heaven, God is challenging the devil. God's boasting about Job. Job didn't know anything about that seal. It's only now that's been unveiled to us. We could see the spirit behind the events that were taking place. We can see, oh, there's an adversary. There's an anointing going against Job. God's going to anoint him as well. This and that's going to take place. There's going to be persecution in the middle of the book. And people are going to be falsely accusing him and so forth. But Job wasn't aware of those things. And that's why it was a deep trial to him. The prophet said he was trying to get the spirit upon him. He was waiting for that prophetic channel to open up so that the Lord could reveal to him the purpose. Now, what does this mean? Because it's so hard to overcome if you don't know what you're supposed to overcome. If you don't understand the purpose, if you don't understand the mystery of what's happening inside of your life, how do you know who's the enemy? How do you know that what you're going through isn't because God is chastening you? Yeah, you'll be thinking, maybe I'm out of the will of God, and maybe you're perfectly in the will of God. But that's what's sealed under the seal. And when the seal is open, and God really shows the mystery, the purpose of why he allowed those things to happen, you'll find he had it all under control. If you could just turn the heating down a little bit, saints, if you wouldn't mind. It's not too cold tonight. And I think it's a bit warm, if you wouldn't mind, on that one there. So just to show that he's really got things covered. And the thing I love about that is that if you read your seals book, you'll see, taking it in conjunction with the seven church ages, the church ages speaks of the people and the events that took place. So we're going to see the Ephesian church age. We're going to find, he has Paul. But you're going to find other people there as well. We're going to find the enemy as well, but he's using certain instrumentalities. So the church ages show us, if you're watching a play, you're watching a great drama unfolding, that's all the actors that are before you. You see the events taking place. But the seals show you the spirit behind those actors. You see who's really moving things and so forth. That's the difference between the church ages is Pope so-and-so and Martin Luther and all that. But once you get into the seals, you're going to find, there's this anointing of the man. Yeah, and there's the black horse rider. You know, so you can see the spirit behind things. And that's what the seals reveal, is the spirit behind things. It's not enough just to know the events, but it's good to know the spirit behind the events, to see what's taking place. Because two people, maybe in the same situation, doing the same thing, one's anointed of the Holy Ghost, the other one's anointed of the devil. You know, so it can be such a deceiving thing. And that's why the lines of discernment were such a powerful thing, just to unmask the enemy. And the prophet says the devil hates revelation because it exposes him. You see, and that's why the seals are such an important thing. God deals with seals when he's dealing with us. Now, in stature of a perfect man, the prophet says, a seal is to loose a ministry. And I like that. Because every single one of us has a ministry. So when your name is revealed and is declared in its season from under a seal, and an anointing is released and is sent forth to you, it activates, it quickens something. There's a ministry that goes forth now. No, that anointing, the Holy Ghost for your age, the eagle anointing in our age, is released because of the opening of a seal to come and anoint those whose names are written under that seal, to anoint the predestined, and that starts a ministry. So your ministry begins. When you recognize your name under the seal, when you get yourself in the channel, when that seal is open personally to you, you're going to start to manifest something inside of your life. Something's going to start to unfold. It may start off in its infancy, but something's going to unfold itself over time, because when you loose a seal, it speaks of a ministry. That's what a seal speaks of as well. So that's a good thing to us. Then he says in first seal, he says, what is a seal? It's a mystery is unfolded. So all of these things come together. Whenever God wants to unfold a mystery, you may not understand what you're going through tonight in certain situations. When God anoints a vessel, or anoints vessels, like he did through all of these church ages under the seals, God predestinates vessels of deliverance and he anoints them. And he uses those people to reveal the mystery. So the prophet comes and reveals those hidden mysteries. That was his ministry. But God hasn't yet finished, because you have mysteries in your life. I have mysteries in my life. There's certain things I'm not sure about. You're looking at certain decisions. You're not too sure about this or about that. That's under a seal. That's under a personal seal. And you need to seek from the Lord to release, to open that seal to you, to give you the revelation of this mystery that he has for your life, this purpose that he has for you, which is sealed under the seal. And especially at those junctions in time, because he says a seal is to loose a ministry. So the prophet there in 1962, December, he's caught between a rock and a hard place. He doesn't know what to do, because he's waiting for the Lord to reveal and to open up the next stage, to minister him from that part of the ministry, the present stage of the ministry, to the next place that he's supposed to be. But he's going to need that to be open to him, and an anointing to be released, a revelation to come forth. Then he can just move in that channel and go from one place to another. And that's the way that he moves his church. That's the way that he works with each and every one of us. So under a seal, something which was foreknown, which was prophesied before, is now made clear. Amen. It's now revealed. Amen. Now he prophesied about your life. Amen. Your name was written in his book before the foundation of the world. He knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly the purpose that he has for you. That was foreknown, but in its season, it's got to be unveiled. It's got to be made known. And you need that seal to be opened to you inside of your life. You need to look under the seal and see your name and see your purpose and see what God thought about you. What's God's purpose and plan is for you. And I don't think we just need that once. We need that all the time. We need that on a continual basis. Because he says in the first seal, you see, the book actually was planned and written before the foundation of the world. So this book, but he just unseals it in time. And he goes through and just unveils it just when you need it. He doesn't show you too much, because he doesn't want to show the enemy too much either. So the book was planned and written before the foundation of the world. And the members of his bride, their names were put in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. But it's been sealed up. And now it's been revealed whose names were in there, all about it. Amen. And the thing that I really love is when he unveils in our age a seal, and we are under that seal, you're not there on your own. Amen. There's no lone rangers in the Book of Life. You were predestinated with certain people. You're predestined to be in a certain place. You're predestined to be with certain people.
You were sealed together under those seals. We are predestined in this age to be under the prophet. Every single one of us, God's children in this age, was predestined under that seal. When that seal would be released, our names were there associated with the prophet. And friends, it's exactly the same with you and I. God has predestined people for you to walk with. God has predestined ministry for you to fellowship with and for him to fellowship with you. God has predestined you under that seal to minister to other people, certain people. Not everyone's going to appreciate your ministry because not everybody is sealed in that part of the book. Not everyone's going to appreciate what you do, but there's going to be some people that when Brother Vlad sings, when Brother George comes and sings, some are going to say, that's so wonderful. When he comes and he sings, it puts me in the spirit. And others are going to say, but I just wish I wasn't there tonight. Just the way that it is. Amen. You know, but God predestinates and he knows who's compatible with who. Amen. And God wants you to be in that place that he ordained for you and he wants that he ordained for me. Amen. It's an important point. You know, he speaks a prophet in the fourth seal about Elijah. Because Elijah was confused because he thought he was the only one left. And he thought, you know, Lord, I failed. I've been up on the mount. I did all that I could do. You came down with your glory. But there doesn't seem to be many results because it was a mystery. It was sealed away. And he says, Elijah never even knew one of them, the 7,000, was that way. Amen. He thought he was the only one saved until God opened one of the seals and showed him the mystery of the book. Amen. That's a real important thing. You know, he could easily have been very discouraged at that time, Elijah. But until God saw his condition and came and unsealed it and opened it up and says, Elijah, just look under here. There's 7,000 other names in here. That which you've done has quickened their faith, has confirmed their faith, has turned their heart to me. You've done exactly what I wanted you to do. But it took the opening of that seal. Elijah needed to look under that seal. And when the seal was opened, it anointed him. A ministry went forth in the spirit of Elijah. He went forth in that anointing. But he didn't realize, and God had to come and open the seal a little bit more for him to look under the seal and to see that there were other people that were sealed away in his age. It's exactly the same as with us. And that's why the prophet says, I think that's the reason John was doing all the shouting the other night. He must have seen his name on there. And friends, that's what makes all the difference in life, is when you see your name there. When you see your purpose, when you see that God foresaw you. When you know, friends, it's such a spiritual something that has to take place because releasing a seal, it releases an anointing. It releases a ministry. It's God revealing a purpose. It's God allowing the next stage of the mystery of redemption to unfold itself. And you and I are part of the mystery of redemption. And there's a certain part that you alone can unfold. Nobody else can unfold it. But you've got to get yourself under that anointing of that seal. You've got to get yourself in that channel, and then God can move you along from where you are to the next stage that he wants you to be. That's the thing. Now, to really get to the point in the first seal, we know it. But he says, the prophet explains that. He says, here's the plan of it. This is the way that it works, he says. Now, if it's going to work like this for the church age, it's going to work like this for you and I as well. Because God hasn't changed his way of working. He says, here's the plan of it. The first thing happens, there's an announcement in the heavens first. So God announces something. Something spiritual takes place. Something opens up in the heavens. Something which has previously been hidden, it's now going to be revealed. There's an announcement in the heavens. So let's take it to the first coming of the Lord. There's an announcement in heaven. And Gabriel comes down and comes and speaks to Zechariah. Gabriel comes down and starts to reveal something to Mary. That was the opening of a seal. God had a mystery of redemption, had a specific certain purpose. He wanted to be fulfilled at that time. It could never be fulfilled unless he opened that seal. Unless he opened the seal and released that anointing. And then we find Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2, the people get under a particular anointing at that time. There's a certain anointing of redemption that comes. And Mary sees her name under the seal. Because now Isaiah 7:14 isn't just a scripture in the Bible to anymore. It's her personal scripture. The virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. Isaiah 9:6. You know, unto us a son is born. All of a sudden, those things became life to the people at that time. Because they knew this day of redemption has come. But God had to open something. In the heavens, something opened up. An anointing came forth. And the prophet says, that's the first thing. An announcement in the heavens first. What happens? A seal is opened. A mystery of redemption. God's going to show the next part of his purpose. He's going to unfold the next part of his plan. He says, what is that? A mystery is unfolded. That which had been a mystery before, it's going to become clear now. That which people have been guessing at all along, all of us are going to say, okay, this is what it is. This day the scripture is fulfilled. They're going to see it clearly. It says a mystery is unfolded. And then a trumpet sounds. It declares a war. Every single time. The moment you see your name, the message comes to you. And the Lord visits you. Watch the enemy. It's like it under every seal. When there's the lion anointing, there's going to go the white horse. When there's the ox anointing, there's going to go the red horse. It's going to be like that. When you're going to look beyond the veil, we're going to see the moment this mystery starts unfolding to you, starts unfolding to me. If God brings us together as a people, expect warfare. Amen. Spiritual warfare. But it doesn't unfold spiritually. You'll see it in natural events like in the church ages. You'll see this person doing this and that person doing that and certain people doing certain political things taking place. But it's a spirit behind the scenes. Because whenever that seal is unveiled and the anointing goes forth, there's going to have to be a counterattack. The enemy's not going to leave it like that. He's never going to allow the mystery that God has to be unveiled in your life to easily be unfolded inside of your life. He's going to fight you every step of the way. He's going to try to discourage you. He's going to try to sidetrack you, try to get you involved in this, that, and the other, try to take your life if he can. He'll do whatever that he can. That's his job. And that's what's under those seals. We'll find these anointings. You find there's a warfare that takes place. As soon as that gospel trumpet sounds, as soon as that messenger that in that age receives a revelation, Martin Luther receives, the just shall live by faith. We don't have to go to pilgrimages to Rome. We don't have to eat the little wafer which is the image of the sun god on it. That's not the literal body of Christ. He goes forth. That's a trumpet sound, a gospel trumpet sounding forth. It's a declaration of war. And if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who can prepare himself? So God's going to give a certain sound. But the moment that the certain sound goes forth, you know what it is? It's to gather the elect. Amen. It's like in the battlefield when things have got confusing and people don't exactly know what's going on. The king, he calls the standard bearer to come. And the standard bearer comes with his flag, with his standard, with the king's colors, or whatever the company colors on it. And then they blow a certain sound on the trumpet. And every single person from that regiment, they know what that means. That means you to gather to the standard. The trumpet's calling you, come back. Reunite, get yourself back in order and rank once again. And then you're given fresh battle orders to go forth and fight the enemy. And that's what the Bible says. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises a standard. Raises a standard. He reveals something. Something is unloosed. Something is released. And the sons and daughters of God, those who are predestined, they hear the sound of the trumpet. They hear the trumpet and they gather under the banner of the age. And each of them has a ministry. Each of them is going to have to fight. You're not on the battlefield for nothing. Each and every one of us have got a part that we have to play. So that trumpet, when it goes forth, it declares a war. He says he begins to proclaim that message. And what does it start? A war. A spiritual war. It's absolutely 100% of the time. You find somebody receives Christ in this age, receives a message of the hour. A person who's really predestined. Watch the trouble start. Amen. Watch. It doesn't take long. Amen. You'll find people's parents will fight against them. The school will fight against them. People at your work, your boss all of a sudden will be against you. Your neighbors, your old church. You just find so many things going wrong, and then somebody will look and say, something's going wrong. Ever since I believe this message, life is upside down. That's not wrong. That's exactly the way that it's supposed to be. Because whenever a mystery is unveiled, whenever an anointing is released, a ministry is now going to start unfolding itself, you've got to expect the enemy to retaliate. That's his job. It's a declaration of war. When you hear that trumpet sound and you see your name there, it's a declaration of war. That's what it is. So we've got to expect a warfare at that kind of a time. The prophet says, and then God takes his messenger with the elect of that age, lays them away asleep, and he drops a plague on them who rejected it. A temporary judgment. So we'll see as we go, plagues are temporary judgments. If you reject what's under the seal, you're going to receive a plague. Now, if that can happen in an age, it's going to happen to you as well. If God wants to open something to you, we looked at it once before, when the Lord came and opened to the prophet when he was at Mishawaka. And then he was praying, saying, Lord, give me favor with these Pentecostal people. Yeah? And he prayed all night, and then he goes to church the next day. And he sits at the back with his seersucker trousers and his t-shirt. And then the man gets up in front and says, we want that young evangelist, William Branham, to come and give the message this morning. Where is he? Is he here? You see, that's a seal unfolding. It's the Lord taking the prophet from where he is into the next part of the mystery of his calling. The next part of the mystery of redemption inside of his life. But be careful when a seal starts to unfold. Be careful you don't reject what's under that seal. Because when you reject what's under the seal, you're going to have plagues. Temporary judgment's going to visit you. So the prophet sits there, and then that colored man says, here he is, here he is. And the prophet goes to the front. He doesn't even have the single thing to speak about. He said, I was scared of that microphone hanging there. He says, and then my eyes fell on the scripture, and then he cried. Amen. And like I've said before, that was absolute predestination. Because the prophet, when he was young, was shot through his legs. And he went down to that region, and he cried. Amen. And he says, there was no God there. And he said, I cried for my mother, but there was no mother there. So when the prophet would preach on that scripture, that was a powerful thing, because he wasn't just preaching a theory, he was preaching something that he knew. That down there, there's no God there. Down there, there's no life down there. And so he starts to preach, and it gets hold of the people And he says, hundreds of people come to Christ. He says, I don't know what happened. The people were standing. Next thing I knew, I was standing outside. What's happened? A seal's been opened. An anointing's been released. It's God's going to take his prophet to the next stage. He's trying to minister that entrance to him to go to the next stage in his calling. The next part of what was written in the book concerning him should be unfolded at this time. 1932, whatever it was. But it declares a war. So he goes back home now, and he goes now to his mother-in-law, and now there's a war. Amen. Now there's an opposition. Now there's a counter force against this anointing that he's received. It's never going to be easy. Amen. You've got to have opposition, carnal people, no matter how sincere they are. They're going to be anointed under the seal to oppose you. Amen. It's got to be like that. Amen. And Mrs. Broy says, you will not take my daughter out among that trash. She'll never have a new dress in all of her life. You get some sense in your head, Billy Branham. You go back to your church, Baptist church there, until you can get a parsonage. I'm not going to allow you to take my daughter and drag her from pillar to post. Go out amongst that trash. Yes, friends. The prophet says, was the greatest mistake I ever made in my life. Why? Because God was opening a seal. God was opening a mystery. And he listened to his mother-in-law. And then what happens? He says, plagues hit my home. He says, my father died. He goes to his sister-in-law, all the different things. And then finally his wife and his daughter, we know the story. But he says, the plagues hit my home. It's a temporary judgment. So whenever you get out of the will of God, whenever you resist the will of God, just as much as it says it in the scriptures concerning the age, whenever people would fight against what had been revealed, the message of the hour, there comes a temporary plague. And the prophet actually shows it. If you read the message, I think it's Church Ages, the one he preached in 1954, he says it. each age, he says, trumpet sounds, a war goes forth. He says, and then God visits. He says, a plague is what follows each war. He says, you look at Azusa Street, the Welsh revival, Azusa Street. God was doing something. Something spiritual was unveiled. He says, look how the people rejected it. What happened? World War I. And so many millions, the whole generation was wiped out. At the end of World War I, there came the Spanish flu. The worst flu epidemic in all history, I think. It was hundreds of millions of people died. The prophet says, you will find that plague, even in the natural, it always follows. There's a revival, there's a trumpet, there's warfare. Those that have rejected, a temporary judgment comes down. Friends, so if you and I reject to walk in the light that God is giving us, if he loves us, under the plan of redemption, we don't only have seals, we also have trumpets, we also have plagues. Those are also under the plan of redemption. So he'll drop a plague on you. He'll drop a judgment. Remember in the book of Haggai, Haggai chapter 1, Cyrus, now a type of Christ, he issues the proclamation, the seal is being opened. It's exactly the time for this to be fulfilled. What does he say? He says, the Lord God has commissioned me, yeah? To build him a house. And here comes an anointing, a seal is open, an anointing to set the captives free. And all of those in captivity who are captive in Babylon, in Persia, there's a royal proclamation, you can go free. Because God wants you to go and build him a house. And it's a powerful book because you read chapter 1 of Haggai, or chapter 1, sorry, I think it's Nehemiah, but it links in with Haggai. You find that the proclamation goes forth. Chapter 2, it lists individually the names of all of the people, the families, who responded. Most of the people didn't respond when the seal was opened. And that's going to catch them in the book of Esther. Be careful, Haman's going to get them in the book of Esther because God knows how to move his people. We'll see a trumpet. The prophet says a trumpet sounds what to do. It sounds, the seven trumpets sound, the six trumpets have sounded what for? To Israel, because they're out of position. So a trumpet now is political disturbance. It's strife, it's trouble among the nations. And what is the purpose of the trumpet? Is to get the people back in line. When the people don't want to walk in the light, if they're predestined people, God sounds a trumpet now. And trouble comes, trouble in your job, trouble in your marriage, trouble in your home. What's God trying to get your attention? Because he wants to get you back in the line of your calling. So when Israel came out from Russia, after the pogroms, the 1880s, 1890s, great persecution. All of the Jews, they started heading west into Europe. And God went and anointed certain prophetic rabbis, if you read history, who came and warned them and says, don't go west. Don't go into Europe. God is going to raise up the spirit of Amalek. It's going to raise up once again. Go to the promised land. And the vast majority of them, because they wanted the easy life. They didn't want to go and be pioneers in Palestine where there was disease and swamps and all that kind of a thing. They thought it's better. We, the German people, love us. Let's go. And they went and they settled in Germany and they settled in Austria at the beginning of the 20th century. And what happened? God had to sound a trumpet. God had to allow those trumpets of persecution to sound. The devil to come and anoint Stalin, Hitler, to get amongst the nations of the earth. The prophet says 200 million devils of persecution. Because they wouldn't walk in the light of the seal. It was their season, their time, their ministry now. Go back. It's a season of restoration. So God has to allow persecution to come. That was the trumpets now. But there was redemption behind the trumpets. God's plan of redemption was to get them into the promised land. And it's exactly the same as us, friends. When you get at ease in Zion, you put your feet up, you're not praying anymore, you're not seeking the mind of God concerning your life. He knows how to blow the trumpet. He knows how to bring sickness in the home. He knows how to do all manner of things. And it's the tender hand of Jehovah. Because he doesn't want his children to miss the best that he has for them. He doesn't want you to miss the purpose that he has for you inside of your life. So he's going to have to use a trumpet maybe. Now if you're really rejecting it, be careful because there comes plagues. Just like with the prophet, he goes to South Africa. What did the vision say? What was under the seal when he went to South Africa? Go to Johannesburg, go to Sydney Jackson, go to Durban. That was it. That was what was under the seal. There was no Kimberley and Clarksdorp and Port Elizabeth. All the other, they weren't under the seal. When the angel came down, he revealed to the prophet, I told you Johannesburg, Sydney Jackson, Durban, I give you the country. But the prophet, now he's stuck there. He listens to the people. Because the devil's never going to leave it just the way that it is. The devil got in those religious men. Yeah? Pastor Schumann and them. Yeah? He got on them and they all started to say, no, we've arranged with Brother So-and-so down in this little church that holds 200 people. We've already set the itinerary. And the prophet got caught and the angel says, go, but you'll pay the price. And the prophet says, even before we finished, before we got to Port Elizabeth, the amoeba struck. The amoebic dysentery. He said it struck Billy Paul first. Then he says, then it got the whole party. Hey, it was tough. That's a plague. That's a plague. You see, when you don't walk in the light of the seal, there's a temporary judgment comes every time. And why is it redemption? It's a tender hand of Job. Because God's trying to teach you a lesson so that next time, when he opens something to you, you won't listen to what other people say. Amen. Next time, you'll follow him. You won't listen to the opinions of people. And that's why there's a plague that's visited upon him. What about Jonah? Jonah's a story of trumpets. Because Jonah's told, go to Nineveh. That's under the seal. A seal is unveiled. A mystery is announced. Nineveh is going to be saved. The Gentiles are going to be saved. Go and preach. Warn Nineveh. Within 40 days, thus saith the Lord, they'll be destroyed if they don't repent. What does a man do? Gets on the boat to Tarshish. That wasn't under the seal. That wasn't very wise what he was doing. So what does the Lord do? He sees a man now getting out of his calling, not heading in the right direction. So there comes wind and strife and storms. That's trumpets. Trumpets is strife and trouble and problems. And then the man's wondering about his life and they're casting lots and they find, hey, you the man, who are you? Where are you from? He says, I'm running from the presence of the Lord. Let's throw this man overboard. And the man finds himself in the belly of the fish. That strife and that, and what did it do? That fish simply brought him back in the line of his calling. Amen. Brought him back to the place that was under the seal. He was supposed to be at Nineveh. Then the Lord just came to him again and said, thus saith the Lord, go to Nineveh. Nothing changed. God wasn't going to change his plan. God wasn't looking for another prophet. God knew how to get his servant back in line. And that's why you find all of these things, they apply in anybody's life. Because if Israel did something wrong, and they were visited by God in a certain way, if you do something wrong, God is no respecter of persons. God's going to just use the same method to get you in line and me in line the same way that he did his children in the Bible. Exactly the same. Like we're saying, if you look in the book of Nehemiah, so the seal opens up. God's great mystery wants his house to be built. He wants to come and dwell in the midst of his people. It's the time of restoration. Cyrus opens the seal. The royal proclamation goes forth. All the people need is ministered to them under that anointing of restoration. And only 42,000, whatever it is, 700 go back. And all the rest of them stay in Babylon, stay in Persia. And those who go, it's not easy where they're going. It's not going to be an easy thing. So they get down there, and what happens? Then the adversaries of Israel, Tobiah, the Ammonite, and all of them, yeah, they get stirred up, and they come and try to scare them and fight against them and weaken their hands in the building. It has to be like that. You can't expect it to be easy when you're walking under the seal that you're supposed to walk. When God's unfolding his redemptive purpose inside of your life, if it's all going smooth, I'd start to question whether I'm in the right place and doing the right thing. Because this is the mystery of redemption of your life. This is the seals in your life. This is God's purpose in your life that is unfolding inside of your life. Now then what happens? They get to the book of Haggai, and the people, because of the opposition, they stop building. They did well. They went and they built the altar. Yeah? They started to sacrifice once again. They laid the foundation of the Lord's house, but that's as far as they go. And then because of all this opposition, they stop building. And now they start building their own houses now. Putting wooden ceilings and all the fancy stuff you read in the book of Haggai. And God's looking down and said, hey, this isn't what's under the seal. This isn't the ministry that was released for you to fulfill. It wasn't for you to do your own things. It was for you to fulfill my divine purpose. To build my house so that I can dwell in the midst of my people. Now you read the book of Haggai. So the Lord says, okay. And he brings a plague on the people now. And there's drought. And all their crops start dying. And all their oil and olives start dying and all of that. And all of their blessings are cursed. There's a curse upon all of their blessings. And then the people are saying, we don't understand this. We thought there was 50 hins of oil there in the tank. We went and there was only 30. And the Lord says, you see, even when you earn your wages, it's like you're putting them in a bag that's got holes in it. When you go to look for much, there's not very much. And then God says, okay, they don't understand. And he sends his prophet Zechariah. Amen. And he sends Haggai, those two minor prophets. And they come now and unveil the mystery to the people. Amen. They say, the Lord is saying, consider your ways. Look at my house. It's waste. And you people are so busy in your own houses. Get to the woods. Fulfill your ministry. Cut down the trees. Build my house that I might be glorified. And the people see their names once again under the seal. They've been reminded once again of their ministry. Something's been released to them once again by the grace. And the people respond. And you find straight away, I think Haggai chapter 2, chapter 3, the Lord says, go and tell my people. Go to their calendar. Put a circle around today's date. Because from today, I'll bless them. Just when they had the right attitude, when they realized, Lord, we've made a mistake. And what was the message those prophets brought to them? Consider your ways. Amen. Consider your ways. Think deeply upon your ways. This isn't what I released the seal for you to do all of these things for yourself. I released the seal. A seal is a ministry going forth, a mystery to be unfolded, a divine purpose, an anointing. But the people, the opposition was too much. Friends, don't give in to the opposition. And if it does knock you off course, just get up, dust yourself down, and get back on course once again. That's the best thing to do, because every single one of us are going to put a shell in the gun and it's not going to go off. I'm going to try to put another shell in, it's not going to go off. Just keep putting it in until one goes off. Because that's what we're anointed to do. So you find all of these examples in the scripture are just showing us that God doesn't change his plan. God doesn't change his thoughts of how he deals with us. Now, listen to what the prophet says. I remember reading this once before. When the prophet speaks about this particular thought, he takes it from Absolute. Absolute Jeffersonville, page 48. He says, listen, I want to tell you something. He had a purpose in saving me. He had a purpose in saving you. And I am determined by his will to do it. Not to add to it or to take away. Then he says, Revelation 22:19, if you want to put it down. So the prophet, looking at his own life, looking at the divine purpose that he had, he says, look, I am determined not to add to this purpose that I've been given and not to take away. And he says, because of Revelation 22:19. Which says, if you add to the prophecy of this book, the plagues will be added to you. If you take away from the prophecy of this book, your name shall be taken away. You won't be allowed in the city. And the prophet applies that, speaking of the general prophecy of redemption, the book of Revelation, and he applies it to his own life. And it's exactly the same as you and I. Don't add to what God has ordained for you under the seals. Uzziah thought he could add. He wasn't supposed to offer incense. He was a blessing. When the seal was opened, when he walked with the prophet in his day, he became a great blessing. But when now he added to the prophecy of the book, he added to the prophecy of his book, he added to what was written in the book concerning him, what happened? The plagues were added to him. He was smitten with leprosy, cast out from the house of the Lord. He lost his position as king. You'll find it every time in the scripture. Look at King Saul. King Saul wants to go and offer a sacrifice. Yeah? Because he says the prophet's taking too long. No, the promises of the prophet were taking too long to come to pass. So what did he do? He says, I forced myself. Friends, don't force yourself. And he goes and offers a burnt offering himself. And what happens now? The Lord releases a devil upon the man. And the prophet says, what are plagues? They're devils let loose. And there's the spirit of depression. This evil spirit comes upon this king. And only David, coming with his harp, is able to minister deliverance to the man. But it just shows when the man adds to the prophecy of his book, the plagues are added to him. And if you take away now, like the prophet, you don't go all the way. Be careful. The Lord can take away things as well. He had his wife taken away, his daughter taken away. Can you see the way that it always works hand in hand inside of the scripture? It never ever fails. And that's the plan that God has. Let's just take one further thought there, and just to show it really, really does fit right throughout the scriptures. There's so many examples that you could give, but let's take these seals and let's look in the life of Joseph. Because the prophet says Joseph is a perfect type of Christ. You know, Seth, if these seals apply to you personally, just as much as they apply to the ages that we've gone through, the mystery of redemption was unfolded in the life of Joseph. So we should find the same sort of things happening in the life of Joseph as have happened, the mystery of redemption coming through the church ages. So these seven seals, we'll find them in Joseph. And this is an easy way maybe to understand the seals sometimes. The first seal, what is the first seal in the life of Joseph? He receives the covenant robe. He's like the church at the beginning, at Pentecost. They received the covenant robe, the Holy Ghost. They had the favor of the Father upon him. He was loved by his Father. He receives the covenant robe. And what happens? It's going to declare a war, friends. His brethren, they don't appreciate it. And then he gets in the spirit of prophecy and he starts to prophesy. He's right in the spirit and he starts speaking of things yet to be, which are going to come to pass years down the way. And his brethren don't appreciate it. You see, the moment he goes forth, a seal is opened to him. He receives the blessing. He receives the seal for his age. A mystery is unfolded to him. He goes and starts proclaiming, blows the trumpet to his brothers. It declares a war. Because at that stage, his brothers are not in the channel of that seal. They're not there yet. The Lord's going to have to deal with them to bring them into place. It's like Jesus when he came and his brethren, the Jews, they weren't in the same spirit. They weren't under the same anointing. It's the same thing. So a trumpet sounds. And whenever a seal is opened, these two spirits go forth. There's the eagle and the pale horse rider. There's the lion, the white horse rider. There's from God, from the Antichrist. Those two things are going to start working straight away. And now the spirit of Antichrist gets upon his brothers. And they start now hating him. What is the first church age? Thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans. They started to think, his brothers, we don't need this kind of leadership. What are the prophets and Nicolaitans? Is it to get rid of Holy Ghost leadership? They don't want that kind of a thing, those brothers. I said, who does this young man think that he is to come and tell us what God's mystery is? They want to depose the young man. And the prophet says it started off as deeds at first. It hasn't come openly yet. At first it was just murmuring in their tent, saying, that young man Joseph, how can the father love that young guy the way that he does? How can he come and expect to tell us? Does he think we're going to bow down to him? You see, it wasn't in the open at first. That's like the white horse. It was a spirit that went forth among the people. But the aim that spirit has was to conquer the laity. It was conquer the laity by deposing the Holy Ghost leadership. And once you get rid of Joseph, his brothers are going to be in a lot of trouble. They're going to be in a lot of trouble in that age. And then it changes later in chapter 37. That comes the red horse now. It becomes open hostility. It becomes persecution. The red horse rider went forth, what to do? To destroy, to kill with the sword. And the brethren, they say, they see Joseph coming and say, here comes the dreamer. Let's kill him. Hey. See, it's gone further now. Let's kill him. And what was those ages as you start getting towards the ox age? Smyrna. Bitterness. Yeah? Be thou faithful unto death. And thou shalt receive a crown of life. You shall endure persecution 10 days. Remember Antipas, my faithful martyr. You see the conditions that things started to move in the church. Now Joseph, he comes down, and now his brothers hate him. And remember, there was a synagogue of Satan as we moved into that next church age. They gathered themselves together against the truth. They combined themselves under that spirit to destroy what God was unveiling and unfolding at that time. Then they say, somebody says, no, don't kill him, throw him in the ditch. They throw Joseph into the pit. They sell him. It wasn't an easy thing for him to go through. Then Joseph's taken down to Egypt. That's the dark ages now for Joseph. Yeah, he's now under a laboring sacrifice spirit. He's having to labor in Potiphar's house. He's having to labor in the prison. The prophet says that black horse, it was the dark ages, it was a midnight hour. It was a dark time. Joseph finds himself in prison. Who was the enemy of Joseph at that time? Potiphar's wife. What does it say in the church ages? That woman Jezebel. That woman Jezebel was the one who hated, wanted to persecute the church. And Joseph finds himself in prison. In the church ages, it says, you shall be cast into prison. You know, you find that it unfolds in a similar sort of a way. So Potiphar's wife, and Joseph finds himself in prison. And the prophet says, there he is with his beard growing out, and he's crying, and he's crying. It's his dark age. It's a difficult time. You read Paul, a prisoner of Christ. It was hard for Joseph at that time. But what happened in the midst of the dark ages? When the Christian church was underground. It was like it was hidden. It wasn't openly able to express itself. The voice came from the throne and said, see thou hurtest not the oil and the wine. Yeah. Amen. And the Lord's with Joseph in prison. And here comes the butler. Here comes the baker. And here comes the anointing upon the man. It's not in the big measures before. It's not the big ministry that's in the future. But even in the prison there, don't hurt the oil and the wine. The Lord watched over him, and God started to use that voice that came from the throne and the butler and the baker and so forth. And then finally we find Joseph comes to the fourth seal. The eagle age. He's taken from the prison, brought before Pharaoh. Yeah. And now the full revelation of the seals are going to come forth to him. All the mystery of that age is made known to Joseph. The seven cattle, the seven ears of wheat. You can see that. And the prophet says, the fourth seal, it's the eagle age. And what does Joseph see, catch under that seal? The eagle calls a death. He sees death coming. He sees the seven evil kind coming to eat up the seven good kind and so forth. And the prophet said, it's the eagle that calls him death. So Joseph moves into the age of adoption. He's now Zaphnath Pioneer, the revealer of secrets. That's who he is. Friends, that's the age that it came in with him. The revealer of secrets, or the man to whom secrets are revealed. And now it's the revelation of the payloads. Now there's a good principle that you learn from this, how it unfolds in the life of Joseph, is that if something is revealed, it doesn't mean it's the same as if it's opened. I think that's where some of the questions come from about the seals. If you take your seals book, what does it say on the front? It says the revelation of the seven seals. But the prophet shows inside of there that some of the seals are not yet opened. He says the pale horse is the tribulation period. It's still to come. So certain things are revealed, but haven't yet been fully expressed upon the earth. And Joseph, he sees what's to come. It's revealed to him under the seals. He sees things that are coming down the way. He sees things that haven't yet come to pass. So that's why it's opened to him in that kind of a way. And that's, the prophet says it in Feast of Trumpets. This is the one I read the other day. He says, how striking. From the seventh angel, the messenger of the seventh seal, his message in Revelation 10 was the seventh seal. So you find when you get now to this age, yeah, the seventh seal is the mystery of his coming. Now, there's a lot involved in that. Sometimes when people, I think we all get a bit confused in the seventh seal, we just try to place it to one single event. The prophet says the seventh seal unfolds itself right unto the ushering in of the millennium. So there's a lot of things that are going to take place. So under this, when it comes, the eagle age comes, it's like the Lord starts to unfold the seventh seal in the days of Joseph. And what's it going to do? It's going to need his brethren to come. He's going to need different things to take place. He's going to have a Gentile bride. He's going to bring forth Ephraim and Manasseh. Yeah, there's going to come so many things that are going to unfold until finally Joseph's going to be in his glory. You know, which was a type of the millennium in a way. But it's like that. If you take the first coming of Christ, there was a lot involved. It started with the coming of Gabriel. The anointing of Elijah had to come. Elijah had to be born right from there. That was the seventh seal, the coming of the Lord, the first coming of the Lord. There were so many things took place. They had to grow up and mature. And then John had to come and prepare the way. Then the Son of Man came himself. Then the Son of Man had his ministry 3.5 years. And then he had to be crucified to fulfill redemption. That was all under the first coming of Christ. So you can see it's a process. It's an unveiling. Like the prophet says, the rapture. It's the shout, the voice, the trump. You see, it's an unfolding of something, bringing it to a climax at the end. Exactly the same as with the seventh seal in the life of Joseph. There was a lot involved now. Once he stood before Pharaoh, there was a lot of things that are going to unfold to fulfill the mystery of God at that time. And what was the fifth seal? What is the fifth seal? It's God's way. Through the trumpets and so forth. God's way of bringing his brethren to recognize who Joseph really is. So God has to bring trouble upon the sons of Jacob, has to do certain things. And then finally they brought to the place now where Joseph's going to reveal himself to his brethren. That's the mystery that's under that seal. Amen. What is the sixth seal? The tribulation period. It's the great famine. It's a time of distress amongst the nations like it's never been since there was a nation. When people are in peril at that time. And we know in the days of Joseph, money failed. Yeah, man won't be able to buy or sell. You'll have to join up to the system. People sold their farms, gave everything to Pharaoh at that time. Which in a negative, in an anti-type sort of way, is a type of the Antichrist. Because when it comes in the tribulation period, people will sell anything like they did in the days of Hitler. They sold anything. They were willing to give the man all the power because there were no jobs. There was so much inflation and so forth. They were willing to give over all their rights because of the condition of things. So we see that's what's coming as well upon this age. Now, it finally finished the seventh seal in the life of Joseph. When Joseph was on his throne. When he was united with his brethren. When he had his Gentile bride when they were living in Goshen. Which is a type of the millennium. Christ with his Gentile bride, with the sons of Jacob, the 12 tribes will be there as well. You know, that's how it all unfolded itself, this great vision. And imagine, Joseph had that vision when he was 17 years old of his brothers bowing down. But it took 20-something years from when that seal was revealed to him to actually when the seal was fulfilled, when it actually opened up and was fulfilled. It can sometimes be quite a time. So the prophet saw certain things under the seals. He spoke about them. But there's certain things we're still waiting to come to pass. And they will come to pass. Because the vision, it will not tarry. It'll come to pass in its own season. Now, what is one of the key things as we come to a close under these kind of things? You think in the book of Joshua. Joshua was told under his commission, don't turn to the left hand or the right. Don't add to it. Don't take away. Don't turn to the left or to the right. Meditate therein. Remember the law of Moses. Meditate therein day and night. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. That was the condition for him to have the success that he did. And that's why Joshua was such a powerful man and possessed the inheritance of the children of Israel so powerfully because he didn't add or take away. He just says all that was written by Moses, that did Joshua. It says it several times in the scripture. But then you get to the book of Judges, the next book, and it's completely different. Now people are adding and people are taking away. And that's why there's plagues coming upon the people. There's persecutions coming upon the people. All manner of civil strife, all manner of diseases and so forth coming in the book of Judges. Because people are adding and taking away to the book of the prophecy which was written about them. And that's how we always said, friends, let's not add to the message. Let's not take away. No matter how tempting this may be or that may be, Turn not to the left hand or to the right. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have a good success. Because God has unveiled to this age. The seals have been opened, friends, to us. The seals have been revealed. Everything that we need is under there. And all you and I have got to do is find our name there. And then you be faithful in your calling. Don't add to it. Don't take away. You may sometimes be tempted to find the easier way. There's easier things we could be doing, friends. When I was away those few weeks back, and I said we watched on the, where we were staying, they had a satellite TV, went and watched the Christian channel. I got up early on the Sunday morning. I said, let me watch. I want to see what's going on, friends. If you took Brother Lubanza there, he could be a billionaire, honestly. If you took anybody who's a real message minister to go and preach in these places, because the things they preach, it's nonsense. There's no depth, there's no weight, there's nothing. And yet they've got 20, 30,000 people back in the stadium. And you'll say, my word. I remember people offering Brother George money. He said, leave that church, come, we'll pay you to come and play music. Friends, never add to or take away from that which is written in the seals concerning you. There's a book of the prophecy of your life. There's a mystery purpose of redemption. It's very specific. God knew exactly where to place you. He knows exactly what He wants you to fulfill. And if you want to walk with God, if you want to be what really, you know, live life to the best, don't turn to the left hand or to the right. Just stay in that calling. Don't be like Jonah seeking the easy way. Don't be like the prophet in his early days when you're still learning. We all made those mistakes listening to too many people telling you what you should do and what you shouldn't do. It doesn't work out for your good friends. But God, He knows what He's doing. And that's what I love under those seals. A seal is a complete work. He knows how to get you to the end, even if you get off course. Imagine the proclamation goes forth. The seal is opened in the days of Mary and Joseph. There's a revelation of the mystery of God's will to them. But they're not in the right place, like we said many times. Just a few days before the baby's born, they're still in Nazareth. So what does He have to do? He has to use the political system. He has to be some kind of trumpet. There has to be something move in the political world. Let every person go back to the city in which he was born and be enrolled in the census. And people are saying, but hey, how can we go? But it was God's way of moving them from where they were, bringing them to where they're supposed to be. And in the early messages, so many times the prophet speaks about persecution. He says the persecution will run the people together. Now, I don't know if that applies to every nation, every country, but friends, some of our countries here in Europe, we need some persecution. Persecution never harms the church. Sometimes when those trumpets sound and those devils of persecution are released, it gets people back in line. It gets people praying. It gets people seeking the face of God once again. Because it's easy to be in Laodicea. It's easy to be at ease in Zion. And you just allow God's purpose for your life, the best that He has for you, to pass you by. I'm sure, friends, we don't want that to happen. I don't really want that to happen inside of my life. So whichever way God wants to work, the best way, walk in revelation. Walk in the light as He is in the light. As He reveals something to you, just stay humble before the Lord. Just make sure that's what God is revealing for you to do. And just do it with all your heart. And that's the safest thing that you can do. But God, in His mystery plan of redemption, His finished work, this complete work that He has. A seal speaks of security. He's going to lose none of His sons and daughters. He's going to lose none of His children. Now, no matter what He has to do, He's never going to lose a single one of them. It says, your names are written upon the palms of His hands. He knows how to get you there. But let's go by faith, friends. Let's yield ourselves. Let's lay ourselves on the altar. Now, the final thing, I was just reading it the other day, is when Israel, when those trumpets of persecution were sounded with Stalin and Hitler. Imagine, they didn't go willingly. When God raised up the spirit of prophecy to try to bring them back, and they didn't want to go because of the price that was to be paid. They didn't want to become burnt offerings. They didn't want to lay themselves fully upon the altar in those early days. And they went seeking the early life. And then came the Holocaust. I don't know, we've seen it once before, but the Jewish word for Holocaust, the Shoah, you know what it means? It means a burnt offering. It's exactly the same word as a burnt offering, the Holocaust. And now Israel, instead of them willingly laying themselves on the altar and going and fulfilling the commission that had been given to them, God, in a sense, had to take those people under Hitler and make them a burnt offering. And then once they became a burnt offering, like that, in that Holocaust, then they were willing to go. Then the nations of the earth were moved now to give them their homeland back again, and the people were willing to go. Friends, I'm sure you're like me. You don't want to have the wolves set loose among the sheep to drive them back to the shepherd, like the prophet says the trumpets were. You'd rather be my sheep, hear my voice. And a stranger they will not follow. When I call, they answer. I'm sure that's your desire. Saints, let's stand. Let's come to a short time of worship. Just trying to clarify a few things there. I hope I didn't make it more confusing. But sometimes in trying to answer a question, you can raise 20 others. But God has a purpose. Sealed up in a mystery. He reveals it in simplicity, but he reveals it in power. And when he reveals it to you, it unveils something to you. It opens a channel, a ministry to you. And you just continue to walk with him. And God knows how to bring us to the end of the journey.
Because you have chosen. Because you have chosen the narrow path, the hardest way, this is great portion of heaven is waiting for. That was a prophecy. The angel told to the great messenger. That is what will produce the great victory. I will walk this path in the footsteps of Elohim. I wanna get to the end of time. That divine love may live in me. I will walk this. I will walk this path in the footsteps of Elohim. I wanna get to the end of time. That divine love. Many trials and many battles against the enemy. But His Holy Spirit will lead us to perfect. Time remaining to walk in this path. We can already hear the chariots was coming to meet us. I will walk this path. I will walk this path in the footsteps of Elohim. I wanna get to the end of time. Divine love may live in me. I will walk this path. I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I wanna get to the end of time. Divine love may live in me.
Let's bow it, saints. Before we go this evening, why don't we just speak to the Lord? Now you know where you are in your calling. You know where you are in your walk with Christ. Why not speak to Him? Only Christ can open the seals. It's only He that's worthy to take the book and to open the seals. Oh no, friends, just like Job, sometimes you'll be in a situation that you're needing that channel to open up before you and him, that he might reveal to you why and how and what's going on. But friends, in his due season, the revelation comes down. And Job stood to his feet and he said, oh, that my words were penned in a rock, for I know my Redeemer liveth. Friends, he knows the way that we take. And when we come forth, we shall be as gold. Whatever your desire this evening, let's speak to him a while. Let's pray for this weekend. Let's pray for our brothers. Let's pray for our sisters, them that are away. Let's pray for our sister traveling this week, going down to Cork. Let's keep all of these things in prayer. God has put us together, our names to be associated in this time, that you may fulfill his purpose, one with another. So let's pray one for another. Let's all enter into a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just really want to look unto thee upon this evening, Lord. I'm so glad and I'm so grateful, Lord, unto thee, that, Father, your purpose, Lord Jesus, is so perfect, Lord. And, Father, as I would look unto thee, as I would call upon the name, as I would to bring myself before thee, even upon this evening, how I just want, Lord, to submit myself unto thee, Lord, Father. Lord Jesus, that you may come, Lord, to the tree of life, to partake of thee, O Lord, to yield ourselves unto thee, to surrender ourselves unto thee, to wait upon thee, Lord, to call upon the name at this time, to give it all up unto thee, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, as our desire, Lord, and I pray. So we look unto thee at this time, Lord. Be glorified, Lord, we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we once again bring ourselves before thee, Lord, to thank you that you're good. Father, to thank you that your thoughts towards us are good. Oh, Jesus, let your will be done. Father, that is our desire. Father, how we desire to be faithful unto thee. Father, Lord, just to your grace, just to your mercy on a daily basis, Lord, to submit ourselves unto thee, to resist the evil one. Father, Lord, to go forth in your name, not to turn to the left hand, not to turn to the right, but, Father, to fulfill all that is written of us. That, Father, Lord, your purpose for your glory may be fulfilled, Lord. So wash us in your blood upon this night, Lord. Cover us in the blood of the Lamb. Wash away every guilty spot. Wash away every guilty stain, Lord. And wash us in the waters of your word, Father. Just sanctify us, Lord. And lead us and guide us, Lord. And help us, Lord. And Father, quicken us, Lord Jesus, with your quickening power, Lord, in our souls. Lead us and guide us as we lay upon the altar. That, Father, Lord, you may glorify thy name, Lord. That you may be glorified in the midst of your people. That you may be glorified in your people, Lord. And, Father, as we go from this place upon this night, please, Father, give us traveling mercies, Lord. Father, watch over us, we'd pray. Father, we pray for the mothers that are at home with the young children
Won't you be with them and bless them, Lord? Would you remember them before thee, Lord? Saints that would be at work, we pray for them, Father. Bless them and watch over them, oh Jesus, them that have traveled, them that have needs, them that are sick. Father, we bring it up unto thee. Father, we just look unto thee. Father, you are Jehovah Jireh. You are the answer to every situation, Lord. And Father, just manifest yourself even now. Strong on behalf of your people, we give unto thee the praise, Lord. Watch over us as we go, Father. Bring us back on Sunday to your house in peace. Prepare our souls. Help us to come back, Lord, with an expectation, Lord. Father, help us, Lord, in worship. Help us, Lord, in the word. Help us in all that is said and all that is done. That, Father, you may look down and say it's good. Father, that is our desire. Father, we consecrate ourselves to thee. Bless us as we depart. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's sing one more there, Brother Flood, as we depart. If I could just quickly see Brother Jose after, if you don't mind, Brother Jose. Thank you, brother.
Round in prayer.